start with a correction. This morning I was talking about Job saying that he came naked into the world and he was leaving the same way. And I quoted as examples some animals that are born with fur covering. And I referred to squirrels and bears, and I was wrong on both counts. They're both born without much, so I should have said maybe something like sheep and cows. I know what calves look like when they're born, so I apologize for that. We've been having a series of topics, both in Bible study and in preaching, on family life. Dealing with fathers is dealing with family life. And there have been several others we talked about. Tonight I want to talk about fathers and mothers again, and this one I expect will conclude that little study. So ask again your prayers and the courtesy of your attention. The Lord bless what we have to say. And to begin with, reference to old ancient Rome. Roman system of justice was human, but it was one of the fairest the world has ever known. The Romans were remarkable for what they did. What do we have? 8,000 miles of interstate in the United States, something on that order. And the Romans built close to 10 times that amount. That's an empire, isn't it? And they didn't have a backhoe in the bunch. But they ordered their world so much that they were able to do that, along with a whole host of other things. And they were as proud of their standard, the Roman eagle, and the other symbols that they had of Roman justice and fair play as anybody's been of the U.S. flag. But there came a time when the city was about to be besieged because they had their enemies, like people do. So the great army gathered against them and approached at a place where they had to cross the Tiber River. And as it happened, there was a narrow valley, another narrow opening between two ridges that the attacking army had to pass through to get there. And the military commander said, "We need some suicide troops who are willing to go and block that place till we can cut down the bridge that leads into the city, because we don't expect you to come back." That's one of the stories of ancient Rome. Thomas Macaulay wrote a poem about it, and it's titled "Horatius at the Bridge." Horatius was the hero. He gathered out several of his bravest and strongest, and he said to him, "If we make it, we make it, and if we don't, we don't." And among the other things that he said, Thomas Macaulay put these words in his mouth: "What better way for man to die than facing fearful odds for the ashes of his fathers and the temple of his gods?" Well, all of us got it to face sometime. And his attitude was, since it's that way, I'd rather die for what I believe is right than for any other reason that I can think of. My father's meant something to me. I don't know about yours. Everybody's got a lineage and got some in it that probably think well of, and some you think less well of. I have never researched this myself, but I'm told that James Wilson, who signed the Declaration of Independence, was one of my ancestors, and that goes over on the plus side. I have some regard for our American Constitution. I care about it. I gave some of my life to government service, and I'm not disappointed that I did. I love my country, and I love what it has stood for in the past. You understand what I'm trying to say? There are things worth dying for. In fact, there are things that you would have a hard time living with yourself if you weren't willing to die for. Now, I also had some ancestors on the other side of the issue. One of my personal ancestors was put to death in an electric chair. I don't know what his offense was. You wish you could look back down the history of your ancestors and think everyone was a saint. In the physical world, that's impossible. But I found a way. Moved outside of that realm and joined a holy family, a body of people, and I care about what they have stood for and endured. My spiritual ancestors believed and suffered for and fought for the same things I do. It was a war where all the casualties were on one side. It is a war that has lasted centuries and involved the cruelest means of persecution possible. And my spiritual ancestors have been faithful through that and handed down to me the book and the heritage that it's possible for holy people committed to their Father to live the book. It'd just be wrong to not have respect to those faithful women who baked the Bible up in loaves of bread so those who were looking for it wouldn't be able to burn all the copies of it. It'd just be wrong for those who rejected the idea of infant baptism and for that heresy, as their captors termed it, were themselves drowned. Their reason being that they believed they had been forgiven of their sins and they were putting that old life behind them. And that's what baptism symbolized to them. And although it's nothing but a pool of water, and they knew it, they would not give up the idea that the Lord forgave my sins and I put them away forever. And they considered that what they were being asked to do. It would just be wrong to not have respect to what those things were. So I'm thinking of the Ten Commandments. It's in the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus. Four of them are what we call the theological commandments. They have to do with our relationship with God. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's our relationship with God. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. That has to do with our relationship with God. And if you read that, each one of those, the Lord gave a little definition and expounding a reason. He said, thou shalt have no other gods before me because I'm a jealous God. Because I require things for generations. And he went on to expound about that. And on four of them, he did that. You can remember perhaps that the Ten Commandments were written on two tables. And I think perhaps the reason for that is because the first ones deal with the relationship between man and God. And the second deal with the relationship between man and man. The fifth commandment is what we call the transition commandment. It is, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth me. And that is a commandment that has to do with the relationship between man and man. But he gave it an explanation like he did not in the others. The others are terse, abrupt, short. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. No explanation, no more comment. It's a way of saying that they're important. At minimum, they're undeveloped. They're not quite in the same category. The table of commandments in this hand is not quite in the same category with the table in this hand. And he made the other, the transition commandment, and placed emphasis on it. Honor thy father and thy mother. And that has to do with family life. So I want to talk about it for a little brief time this evening. Ask your prayers, the Lord, and help us with it tonight. I'm not Horatius standing at the bridge, but I would like to make the point that these things matter to me, and I hope they do to you. It's a rule of life. Remember who these Israelite people were. For hundreds of years, they'd been under Egyptian rule. The story of Abraham and Isaac, well, depending on whose record of it you believe, they're about as remote to us, to them, as Paul Revere is to us today. It's been a little over 200 years, since the establishment of, it was in 1776 that the Constitutional Convention took place in Philadelphia. So that's a little more than 200 years ago. How relevant is that to you today? We don't wear the same clothes. We don't do anything like the same kind of transportation that those people had. We're not surrounded with a howling wilderness full of savages. It's hard to even relate very much to what they said and what they were, but that is at least the distance that there was between these Israelite people and Joseph when he came down into Egypt as a captive. So they had the old stories, and we have the old stories. They're in our history books, and we read about them. The battles, Bunker Hill, the other places that there were, the Boston Tea Party, we read about it. Kind of slipping away from us today. Well, that's the way these folks were. They were brought up in a culture that worshiped cats. They were brought up in a culture that mounted, it's getting popular again to cremate our dead. Well, those folks did that, but they stuffed crocodiles and kept them and things like that. And that's the culture that these Israelites came from. Had they had no Ten Commandments, had they not stopped out there in the wilderness and gone right over into the Canaan land, they would have set up another government just like the one they came from. They didn't have very much connection to what God had told Abraham. Some stories that had been repeated down for 200 years, and that's pretty much it. They needed something that taught them the proper order of society the way it ought to be. There's still in existence a letter written, of course, on a clay tablet that an Egyptian military officer sent home to his wife. He'd gotten word, apparently, that she'd had a child while he was away on military service. And his letter said, if it's a boy, raise it. If it's a girl, drown it. And that's their attitude toward family. Distant, remote. Parents didn't raise their children, especially the upper class. They were done. That was done for them by servants and so forth. That's what the Israelites would have done. And much more. But God stopped them. And he set for them the code, the proper way for society to conduct itself. And it is a proper code for all the world, and it has been ever since. And here it is, the first of all the commandments that there are. And the language that's in it, of all the commandments that there are concerning relations between man and man. And it's set like none of the others are. He gave an explanation about it, as if to say, one hand is reaching over here to the theological, and the other is reaching over here to the ones having to do with family. And it's so true, because the idea of honoring your father and mother has its origins in honoring God himself. He calls himself the Father. And it links up with the urgency, just as it's urgent not to use the name of the Lord your God in vain. Oh, it's vital, it's critical to make this the basis of all our dealings with one another in the world about us. Honor thy father and thy mother. Paul went on to emphasize the idea was not original to him. Those old Jewish rabbins had been teaching it for centuries. It is the first commandment with a promise, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. He wasn't only talking about the individual. There were children who died in Israel. He was talking about this nation that I'm trying to make, the Israelite nation. You're moving into a land where there are other nations, Hivites and Hittites and Jebusites and Philistines, all kind of people are over here, and I'm driving them out. They wanted the same things you do. They are people just like you are. They are born in the same way. Their bodies go through the same processes of growth and development. But I am turning my sword against them. These people are going to die in their thousands. And the big difference between you and them is this code. Because that's what these people are doing. They dishonor their fathers, dishonor me. And they dishonor the family relationship, and it's destroying the land. It isn't just that your son won't ever die at 10 years old. I will cast you out of the land just like I am casting these people out of the land if you are so foolish as to allow yourselves to stray away from the code of behavior that I've given you. Now compare that to our world today. God wants our nation to have respect to father and mother. I can't help what our nation does. And they're not here listening to me tonight. But all brethren, you and I can set ourselves by God's grace to live as he wants us to. And he's guaranteed to give to his people a greater land than that Israelite land, a heavenly kingdom. Yeah. And it is not only life for a few years here in this world, it is eternal life.
Yeah.
It is the hope of the soul. It is all wrapped up in this promise. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long. The avenue to worship, to power and blessing and victory with God has to do with learning to respect those who went before us. My family's people were named Wilson, obviously. As I mentioned to you, they weren't all good people. But they gave me these hands that I use. And they gave me these feet. And they were older than me. And they grew old. And their bodies weren't able to do the things that they had before. Were I around them, had opportunity to do so. I owe them, because I have these hands, I owe them to support their hands when they're feeble. My grandfather was a man who was always cold. I didn't get to visit him much, but I remember going into his home. They kept it was a wood stove, and he kept it about 80 degrees in there all the time. It would make me very uncomfortable. The proper thing for me to do is take off my jacket and sit there with the sweat running down my face and be very respectful of him in his own home, in the way he wants to live. Some of my ancestors did things of which I don't approve at all, but I owe them respect for their right to do it. Dignity. Dignity is fundamental to human success in the world. The right to own your own will and make your own choices. To realize that there beside you sits a mortal soul. Somebody who deserves respect and honor and recognition. Now this is talking about parents, both good and bad. It didn't make any exemption for them if they happened to be a hard-hearted man who beats his children, or a foolish man who wastes his children's money on foolish things. He didn't make any exemptions for that. He just said to honor him. And what that means is, when people hurt you or abuse you or disappoint you, you have feelings. And they rise up and you're tempted to resent that. Perhaps to allow that resentment to affect your relationship with them. What the Lord said was, get over it. There is a greater command than what your feelings are. Honor what that person was. God put them there. God gave them the right to choose to be the person they are. You may choose, if you want to look at that and say, I don't appreciate what they are, and I set myself by God's help. I will never live like my father did. But that doesn't give you the right to dishonor him. You can rise above him. You can do better than he did if you set yourself, if you need to, and you set yourself to, but what you better not do is resent it. Enough to allow that resentment to get in between the duty of respect that you owe him. You understand what I'm trying to say? This sin has to do with family life, because this is a spreading principle. If you feel that way, if you're able by God's grace to be that way to your own parents, you can change that to others who hurt you and disappoint you. Maybe your parents are perfect. Mine weren't. They were pretty good. But they weren't perfect. Maybe yours were. But even if they were, you're going to find somebody in this world who's not. And to step on your toes. What do? Go get your sword and cut his head off, huh? That'll get you in trouble with God a long ways. It's hardly what any of us want, what God wants any of us to do. He wants us to humble ourselves and recognize the worth of their soul. Maybe I can say this another way. I need your prayers tonight. The Lord said, rise up before the hoary head. That's one that looks like mine does. Gray hairs first, but wrinkles second. Kind of go together. Some of my friends were describing to me not long ago when they were young, they got in wrestling matches with each other. One of them said, I've had my hair pulled so hard, my head was sore the whole next day. He grew up. Came a time when he couldn't do that anymore. And you're young. You can do it to him if you want to. And you can also despise him for his weakness and inability and the changes in his life. Go to any of our old people's warehouses and see them sitting there in their wheelchairs. And you can despise them. You can laugh at them. Or you can look at it and say they're God's creation. Maybe it'd be better to go down there and sing a song to them. Try to do something to cheer them up. They haven't got much left of life and they're getting down close to the end of it. The Lord is looking at what I did. Rise up before the hoary head, he said. And what's the reason for that in the deepest sense? Because the scripture said of God that his hair is white like wool. He is described, we think of people as growing old and they're 70 or 80 years old, and they are. But he's the Ancient of Days. He is forever. He is described in the scriptures as old, but he's not described as feeble. He has eyes like a flame of fire. He sits on a great white throne. We owe him a great debt, folks. We owe him the air we breathe. We owe him the life that we have. We owe him every opportunity, being able to do anything. We owe it all to that one who sits on that throne. And when we honor those who are weaker than ourselves, who have hurt ourselves, who had control of our lives when we were young, and we didn't appreciate what they did to us, and maybe they did us wrong. But when we honor that, I don't mean we approve it. I don't even think it was good. We accept their right to make choices. We're really looking beyond that person, and we're looking to God sitting on his throne. I hope you understand some of what I'm trying to tell you, because this has a lot to do with family relationships, with one another. I remember a man, I've heard this story more than once, when I'm thinking of one in particular, came to me weeping. I want to be close to my dad. And he said, all the years I was growing up, I never one time heard him say, I love you. Never had him put his arm around my shoulders. And you naturally think, well, let's go tell him. He ought to know better than that. And it's true. But you can't make somebody love you. All you can do is take the feelings that you've got and master them. And make something out of what life's given you and go on. That's all you can do. Or you can let it eat you up. Those are your choices. Yeah. And a generation who dishonors their parents is doomed. And in this case, for the Israelite nation, no doubt that reached back past all those hundreds of years in Egypt to honoring Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Jacob was one of those who wasn't a very good father. And I don't know what's the matter with a man's head that would want to have two wives and two concubines. He's got more trouble than he's going to be able to handle. And it bore out in those boys that he had too. That didn't turn out very well for him. And they had rivalry against one another. They fought and quarreled with one another. But God chose one of those sons and made the priests out of them in the nation. He made them the 12 tribes of Israel. And nobody got to say, well, I'm of the tribe of Reuben, and I don't like him, because the Lord said about him, because he said through Jacob about him, unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, and I'd like to excel, so I'm going to surrender tribe of there, and I'm going to go be part of the tribe of Benjamin. Well, that didn't work very well for Esau, trying to give up his birthright. And it wouldn't work for anybody trying to do that after that. You're wiser to recognize the honor that goes with it, and maybe I've belabored that enough now, because I have something deeper in mind. A heavenly family, a spiritual family, that really is the key to it all, because our physical family will hurt us and disappoint us, There is a place in God's great plan for us to pray through that and find the sweetness and the peace and the grace. I know life being what it is. Some of you have hurts. Some of you have parents who weren't there for you. For what reason soever. Nothing can change that. They're not here, perhaps. We're here. I want to say to you, in the fear of the Lord, let's lay it down. Lay it down. Forgive them. Don't let it bind up your life any longer. Put them in the Lord's hands. They were people. The devil worked on them just like he worked on you and me. Some of them loved us and some of them didn't. And some of them, we don't even know who they were, perhaps. I knew a man in Louisiana, a very dear friend of mine. And I asked him about his family history one time. He said, all I know is that there was this one orphan boy in New Orleans. Nobody knew where he came from. Nobody knew what his background was. And he never had very much money or amounted to very much. And he was our ancestor and we don't even know what happened to him. That's what you got. All around your people who had more, give it to the Lord. Because he's got a better family for you. He's got a family of God, a place where you can be one of the, where you can feel the sweetness and the love is deeper than fleshly love that flows from heart to heart. Some things the best you can do with him is just forgive him.
Yeah.
Put it in his hands. Honor thy father and thy mother, he said, because there is honoring God in that. Because when we're willing to do that, Almighty God will honor us in his word. Yeah. Honoring God, in other words, was saying that the sins that came on those people, I'll spare you from that. This is, Lord help us tonight. I don't have the wisdom to say it, but this was the beginning of it all. Remember the things that these people did. Well, Moses went up in the mountain to get these Ten Commandments, and Aaron got tired of waiting. The people got tired and put pressure on Aaron. He caved in, and they were having an orgy. When he came down, they were singing the Egyptian songs. They were dancing around the fire. They were wildly and lustfully and foolishly on the accompaniment of their music and their passions out there in the desert with hardly any water, with hardly any food, entirely dependent on God to take care of them and foolishly sticking their finger in his eye. Doing one of the things that would make him most unlikely to help him. But the reason was because it felt good and their passions were there. And folks, the world is all around us doing the things that feel good. And with it, they turn loose every vile lust you can imagine. It's just a riotous orgy of foolish, wicked misbehavior. And it's all around us. And when people do that, they call down the wrath of God. And Sodom and Gomorrah, the same thing that caused judgment to fall on them will cause it to fall again. He doesn't like people in our world any less than he did them or any more. And the thing that stopped that was for folks to have honor to Jacob and to Abraham and to what he stood for. Now, folks, you and I, we have our temptation and we have our battle. And there's a world around us enticing us, could I say, the same way with its music. With its emotions, I so hate those Egyptians. All those years making me work down there, making bricks without any straw. I hate everything they did to me. I can show you the scars on my back where that taskmaster's lash was laid on my shoulder. I tell you, he could stand 15 feet away and take a fly right off your shoulder with that whip, and he did it, and he didn't always stop with a fly. And I can show you every bit of that. And I'm finally free and I'm going to act like I'm free. That kind of thing. You can take that attitude and it'll take the sweetness and the beauty of what God has given us right out from underneath us. Or you can look up and say, the Lord's busy right now giving us the things we need to build another nation. And we're going to be brethren over there. And we're going to have houses we didn't build, vineyards we didn't plant, cities, walled cities that we didn't erect for ourselves. God is going to go before us. When we were down there in Egypt, they beat us when they wanted to. We're going over here to a city that's got walls 60 feet high. and 30 feet thick. We haven't seen it yet. We don't know what's going to happen, but this is what did happen. Those walls are going to fall down. And God in heaven is going to make a way for us. Oh, brethren, we have life before us. And we have that same God wanting to hold us in our hands. But we have a set of traditions, a set of holy values, could I say, been handed down to us through blood and tears and suffering and sacrifice, through steady lives, lived for a whole lifetime, through those whose days were cut short in a little while, who stood true to it all and handed down to you and me the heritage of holiness and innocence and purity and righteousness. Holiness reaches a long ways. We ought to be able to take God's magic marker and walk through our houses and everything in there to write holiness unto the Lord on it. And if we couldn't do that, we ought to use the other hand and gather it up and take it out and not have it in there. Yeah. Hadn't we? And if we can't do that, we need to get before the Lord until we can. That's what kept our forefathers. That's what will keep you and me. Honor thy father and thy mother. The heritage we have, those old Brush Arbor meetings that are largely drifted into the mists of the past now, where our forefathers' sisters shouted their hair down, where some old sinner would come and get under conviction and go out by a tree stump somewhere and pray through the night, and just before day somebody would hear him shout and praise God. He got prayed through. And the victory got won. Those things were real. Yeah. Those were the foundations of our nation, the heritage that we've been having. It ought to be precious to us. Perhaps enough to say, what better way for a man to die than facing fearful odds? So we got some fearful odds to face today too. We also got some steel, some resolution, some determination. Horatio took about 5 men with him, and all of them got killed with him. And in the end, he so impressed his enemies that they wouldn't kill him. He had on his armor still, and he walked down to the river and prayed to the river gods, which is not what we would do. But by then, they cut the bridge down. He was over there by himself, and he said, Roman arms, Roman heart are committed to you today. And he jumped off in the river and swam across it with his armor on. I got a river to cross one day too. And I'd like to do it with victory. Yeah. Amen. Oh, brethren, the devil would like us to be stirred to feelings against one another. If the devil can make you angry with anybody, he can make you angry with everybody. Yeah. The Lord wants us to be able to so rise above that we have a spirit of sweetness and gentleness and mildness, patience. Love covers a multitude of sins, the scripture said. Get so bond and linked to one another that just hardly won't get any hard feelings toward each other. Heart to heart, soul to soul, spirit to spirit. You believe it can be? Yes. I know it can be. It can be the other way too. But I've lived in congregations where folks were so innocent, so sweet, so committed to each other. It just looked like no request was too hard for each other, considerate of each other. We've got a lot of that here, and I love it. This is where I want to live. This is where I want to die. I'm a Wilson. My Wilson family, I love them, and I get together with them when I can. But they don't understand the way I live, and I don't understand the way they live. I got another family, and I love them so dear. It is so beautiful, so pleasant when we come together and the hearts blend together and the spirit is soft toward each other and there's nothing standing between each of us, transparent. Look right through each other, nothing hidden, just love and peace and joy. And it comes about because of these same 10 commandments and all that's followed from them. I thank God for these weighty and holy things. I've been in places in my life, and I'm in a place now, where the ability to sweetly agree together in prayer, heart to heart, is invaluable. The prayers of the saints can move mountains. They can change things. God has a plan for each of us. But God can be approached. There have been people who went before the Lord and said, like Hezekiah, the Lord sent a prophet to tell him, this is it, get your house in order. And he turned his face to the wall and wept. And God turned the prophet around and told him, go tell him I've added 10 years to his life.
Indeed.
Thank you. There are things like that where our prayers change. What God is gracious enough to take us in to consideration in the decisions that he makes. Are you tired of me talking this yet? Let's say one more. People have the idea that God has predestined our lives. It's all planned out. And in a sense, that's true. But we're not without a voice. He gave us the right to come and entreat him. So I'm down here living this. And this that you planned out for me, I'd rather do it another way. And there is a way to approach the Lord, and he hears that and cooperates with us in what we do. It's a beautiful life, isn't it?
Yeah.
Weaves us together in that fashion. I thought it through. Choices I have available to me. You're the people I want to weave it together with from here to eternity. And I ask God for that privilege. I say that so it makes sense. Live or die, and all we face, I want to do it with you. By the Lord's help, may he grant us that privilege. Thank you for the courtesy of your attention this evening. And it is this, my prayer, that the Lord give us, in this dark, perverse generation, godly families.
Yes.
All folks. It changes so fast. The children grow up. Love them while you can. You don't know what life's going to do to them. Some of them drift maybe into the prodigal son's pig pen. Some of them may not have long lives. Some of them may do everything right. Every one of them is just as valuable as any other. May God give us, because of honoring his word, honor thy father and thy mother. May God give us such connection with those we love, that no matter where they go, there'll always be that stamp, that something there that knows there's something better and thirsts and cries for it. Amen.